The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Tom, do you know what day this is?
Friday, February the 2nd.
Which is Groundhog's Day. And our little friend Punxsutawney Phil from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, saw or did not see his shadow. What did you hear?
I heard that we're in for six more weeks of delightful weather here in Arizona.
I can't speak for the rest of the country. Oh, my goodness. He could have seen his little shadow here back in October, Dylan Smith and Tim Stellar.
Yes.
We really have not had winter.
We'll have six more weeks of summer here in Arizona.
Oh, my goodness. My gosh. It's going up into the 80s next week. Can you imagine what July is going to be if that high pressure does not move? I mean, it's already been in. Anyway, we don't need to talk about that right now. It is the Buckmaster Show, and I'd like to do a shout-out to some of the media people who are supportive of this program. We have TucsonSentinel.com. That is Dylan Smith's creation. He's the editor-publisher, and Dylan is with me in studio today. Dylan, thanks for your support for our show after the last seven full years. We're into year number eight. Dan Scheer is our friend down at Green Valley News and Saharita's Sun, the Tucson Media Group. Jim Ninsel, the editor there at the Tucson Weekly, but they also promote our program on their other platforms, Inside Tucson Business, Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Other media folks, Southern Arizona News Examiner, that was the late Emil Franzi's creation, which is now being run very ably by Harry Alexander. And then David Morales and the Three Sonorans, his blog. Our Friday Focus interview will be coming up today at 12:20, so we're going to kind of change things around a little bit and do the roundtable portion with Tim Stellar, columnist from the Arizona Daily Star, and Dylan Smith. So we'll talk among ourselves, and we'll be ready to go with the speaker, hopefully, at about 12:20. Dylan, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
Tim, how's it going?
Wow, okay, but your good friend D.A. Morales says, Tucsonawtani Tom the tortoise saw his shadow today.
Oh, that's cute.
That means we have means we have 12 more months of summer coming in Tucson.
It. Good job, Dave.
I thought that was good.
That's an uncanny prediction there.
Yeah. The that is very good, and thank you for sharing that.
Sure. What tawny tortoise? What was it?
Tucsonawtani Tom the
tortoise. Tucsonawtani Tom the tortoise.
That's cool.
Well done.
Tortoise.
Now, I have a question,
yes,
Tim.
Yes, Tom, you're more than happy to join.
How can a turtle see his shadow when he is so low to the ground?
We'll have, you know, as I understand it, Morales is something of a mathematician, right?
Yeah.
There is some geometry involved.
All plotted out. Yeah,
no, he is.
Oh, okay.
It's all done with smoke and mirrors.
Tim, any reaction to today's column? It's one of three columns that you craft each week.
Yeah. You know, one the thing that I found really
interesting. Maybe I should set it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's try to do that.
Okay. Joe Ferguson was trying to attend the Republican Club meeting where Allie Miller was the speaker. And Allie, I believe, saw Joe at the meeting and asked the president of the club to have him please leave.
Right. So that's the rule of the Pima County Republican Club, which is probably the central one out of a handful, half dozen that are in the Tucson area. They meet every week for a luncheon and have a speaker.
Have you spoken there?
I have not. I've asked to have an opportunity, but I have not been granted that opportunity.
But you were tossed from some meeting, weren't
you? Yeah, so back in October 2016, I went to attend an Allie Miller presentation there. And at that time, she said no to me as well. And that's their rule, I should explain. As a club, their rule is they allow the speaker to decide whether a reporter or reporters in general may stay.
And you've attended other Pima County Republican Club meetings.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I've seen Supervisor Miller speak there before.
Oh, yeah.
As have I.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. However, they apparently do not enjoy my presence because...
they don't think you're fair?
That's confounding.
Yeah, back in July or so, their board met and decided to ban me personally, individually, permanently. So, yeah, I mean, it brings up, they argue that I'm biased against Republicans, and so what's the point, and that kind of thing. And, you know, they have their all right in the world to do it.
Yeah.
It certainly goes against local tradition, though, which has been to have more free-flowing conversation, and whatever comes out.
Back in October 2016, didn't you write a column that said you would maybe vote for Allie Miller if you lived in her district right before that election?
I recall saying something to that effect, yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Whatever.
Dylan, didn't you speak at a group recently? But it was the Democratic group.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
I never heard what your message was.
That the Arizona Daily Star is run by a giant evil tentacled corporation and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. I should have been there.
Yeah.
I talked, went and spoke to the Democrats of Greater Tucson at their, they have a weekly meeting every Monday for lunch, and I think Tim's spoken there a time or two.
Yeah, I'm available. I don't discriminate by party. I'd happily talk to Republican groups.
Same here. I would pretty much talk to, well, certainly any registered political party in Arizona. I don't know that I would talk to any political group because there are some people I probably would not want to be around.
In the column, was it the president of the Republican Club accused you of being biased?
Yeah. This is a really interesting point, I think. It was not the president. It was the treasurer. Really nice guy who I enjoy speaking to, Harry Kerrigan. And he said, well, we just decided that you're too biased and you don't give us a fair shake. And so we don't want you around, which is fine as far as it goes. What I really have an issue with is the wild use, which is very common these days, of the word bias, because in the definition of bias is the concept, it's a concept of something like unfairness or unwillingness to see things fairly or for what they are, i.e. a prejudice. And so I think that people don't see the difference between opinion or a tendency to lean one way or the other, and a bias. Mm-hmm. You can have opinions and not be biased. And that's what I try to do.
Hmm.
So you could be swayed to change your opinion on something. You're not firmly set in your preconceived bias. If you went to the Pima County Republican Club and listened to a speaker, they might change your mind.
Oh, I mean, they might. You know, it's probably unlikely, but maybe not on a given subject. I heard Steve Christie there last summer, and he was good on some issues and not on others, I thought. I mean, you know, not every issue is as polarized as, you know, the Russia and Donald Trump or something like that. You know, there's a lot of local stuff that we can all agree. You know, things like how to fund road repairs. Those are classic local issues that don't really break down much along party lines, or they don't have to break down.
It gets down in the nitty gritty of how do you actually accomplish something in the real world versus, you know, all this right, left, Republican, Democrat.
Right. I mean, those things pertain, but it doesn't have to break down that way, you know, depending on how you want to fund something like road repairs.
Well, I believe that if someone lives in the district, they should, in Allie's district, or really any of the districts, they should be able to speak with their supervisor, and I think by excluding even reporters, you know, we have residences too, and we're citizens here, and I think that we have a right to speak to her. Wouldn't you agree, Dylan?
Well, I think it's, you know, generally smart for politicians to want to talk to the press. They should be wanting to get their ideas heard by more people, not try and cover them up.
So what
and especially if you're a civic leader, especially an elected leader who wants to have that reputation, that mission of being a watchdog of, you know, trying to blow the whistle on what you say is wrongdoing, you should want to have people in the media helping you out and dig into things. my bias, if I have any in my work, is for a good story. And if somebody brings me a good, interesting story that we can prove, I am all ears.
Yeah, and my whole point here is to try to make every elected official have a forum here on this program. And that still extends to Mrs. Miller, to Supervisor Miller, to come on the program. We used to have her on, but then something happened, and she decided that she would not want to come on. But anyway, the Republican Club's prohibitions and expulsions, Tim, you write, speaks, you think, to a larger sickness in our society, that lots of people have pointed out the increasing political tribalism of the United States. The two tribes live in their own fact environments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, obviously the case. We've seen that develop. And so it was for somebody like Allie Miller, she would point to me and say, what's the point in having him? He doesn't
reach her particular audience?
No, not just that, but that he will never buy what I am selling because, well, if you look, it's not just on the local level, but on the national level, she's become a very adamant pro-Trump advocate. And that's, of course, her right. But it gets to the point, and I think this is what she would say, that there's no overlap, no common ground. Now, I don't think that's true. As Dylan says, on a given story, we're all ears,
Absolutely.
Happy to talk about all kinds of waste, corruption, whatever. The problem is there has to be evidence. There has to be something to base it on. And that hasn't always been the case in the allegations that have been thrown about for the last few years. Sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't.
And there is a difference between a columnist, which you are, and Joe Ferguson, who is basically a news reporter.
Yeah,
a news
sure.
reporter.
Right, right.
Why don't you enlighten our listeners on what the difference is?
Well, so I'm what's known as a metro columnist. It's just a job where you talk about all kinds of different things going on in town. Might be politics, might be just an interesting person. But I'm given free rein to express opinion. In fact, not only free rein, but also encouraged to express opinion. Now, in my particular columns, I coming from a long time background in reporting, I try to bring a lot of reporting to bear on my column. So it's not heavy on opinion. It's heavy on facts, but has some opinion or a perspective of my own. So that's very different from what something like someone like Joe does, or I assume something like what Dylan or some of his contributors would do, which is just, trying to report the news, give the various sides, give the basic facts or some analysis that makes sense.
Do we have any idea what she spoke, what the message was?
I don't know. No, I didn't have any moles this time. it was probably not even that newsworthy. I don't think I've ever written a story based on something that was at one of their luncheons. I just went to hear people and meet people.
Well, I could get a little bit of background and build better connections with people. I think it's if we're going to fix this polarization that we see at pretty much every level now, people need to be a little bit more open to just sitting down and talking with each other. You don't have to come away agreeing with everything the other person says, but maybe you should be able to understand where they're coming from. I think that's important for all of us to try to do, especially for those of us who are in the press doing the job, whether it's being a columnist or being a reporter, and for people in politics I think it's incumbent on all of us. It's our responsibility to try and understand things.
All right, Tom, I think we will take our break right here, and hopefully the plan had been to get the speaker, J.D. Mesnard, on the program at about 12:20, and we're in that territory now, so we expect to hear from him very soon. Let's take the break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Friday. Be right back.
The
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Also, our monthly visit with retired United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. The Buckmaster Show airs live each weekday during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. The Arizona House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly yesterday to expel Representative Don Shooter amid harassment charges. This is the first expulsion of a House actually, there were two House members, I believe, back in 1948 who were expelled after a fistfight. But maybe we can get more about that from the Arizona speaker on the live line with us right now, J.D. Messnard. J.D., how are you?
It was a rough day yesterday, but we made it through, did what was necessary, and I'm glad to be with you.
So it's been a long time, like 70 years or so since something like this happened. When it was all over, as you say, it was a very rough day, Mr. Speaker. Were you pleased with the end result?
Yes, other than the fact that we had to do it, I was pleased that we... It was a nearly unanimous vote, and though the couple that voted against, I fully respected their position. I had felt similarly, in the past. We talked about the proper level of punishment, which just continued to escalate and then culminated in the expulsion. So we did what we needed to do. I wish the former representative all the best. I have no ill will towards him, but we needed to send a message that this type of behavior was not okay.
Mr. Speaker, with me in studio, and they're very anxious to join in the conversation, Tim Steller of the area's largest newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, a columnist with the Star, and Dylan Smith from Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Tim, let's begin with you, with the Speaker.
Hello, Speaker Messnard. So,
hi, Tim.
Hi. Coming up to into the morning yesterday, I have the impression that you weren't convinced yet to pursue expulsion. Am I right about that? And if so, what made you decide to pursue expulsion of Representative Schuder?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So a couple days ago after the report came out, I had put on the table a couple of things. One is I, in my own capacity as Speaker, had the power to remove Mr. Schuder from all of his committee memberships, which is really, exceedingly rare. But then I didn't feel like that was enough, that we needed to go further, and that a simple reprimand from me was not enough. It would require anything further, an act of the entire body. And I put on the table that the chamber would censure him. Unfortunately, some folks sort of felt like that was a slap on the wrist, but it's extremely serious. It actually had never been done in our state's history, as far as I can tell. But it was shy of expulsion because, an expulsion is overriding the will of the voters in that district. And you look at the three other instances, including the ones that Bill mentioned from 70 years ago, we're talking fist fighting and violence. And in the case of a 1990s in the Senate expulsion, bribery following an FBI investigation. So trying to figure out what is the proper punishment given this behavior. And a censure felt appropriate to me, and I fully respected those who felt more or less should be done. But that's what I felt was fair.
So, did he send out a letter yesterday morning? Is that what convinced you that expulsion would?
Yeah,
be
absolutely.
Warranted?
Because a lot of the allegations, and they were serious, varying degrees of severity. A lot of them happened before he was in the House, so that was to be taken into consideration as well.
He was in the Senate, you mean?
Correct. He was in the Senate. And then, of course, he sent out the letter after I had specifically told him no more, no more retaliation or, harassment behavior. And yet he did it the morning of. And at that moment, that was the last straw. I immediately changed my motion to expel.
Mm-hmm. And now. Okay.
One more thing. Did you ask him to resign before you did that?
I had. I actually had been asking him to resign for some time. I wasn't making a public display of it because it's a big decision. And it's a personal decision, and he was duly elected. But I had been asking him to resign for some time. And then at the end, I was pleading with him because, we hadn't had this kind of a vote in 70 years. Asked him not to put us through it. But he stood his ground for his reasons, and so we were forced into the vote.
Okay, here's Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com.
Thanks for taking the time today. I appreciate it. I've got a couple detailed questions about the vote. But first, I want to ask you, there are plenty of women in the legislature, both lawmakers and staffers, who are really starting to stand up and say that the that their workplace is hostile, and it extends beyond what this one representative was doing. What is the legislature doing to get a better handle on this, to figure out exactly what's going on and fix it?
Yeah, so, you know, you're going to get a variety of opinions on sort of how bad it is, how widespread it is, but it's widespread enough and serious enough that we have taken proactive measures to make sure that we're pushing back on the idea that this is okay, or maybe what folks in the past had sort of rolled their eyes at or just ignored, that they shouldn't have to tolerate. And so we came up with a more formalized, written out anti-harassment policy. We're going to take the next step in the coming months to not only improve upon that, but also to develop for the first time an actual code of conduct for members, which I frankly wish wasn't necessary, but given the circumstances, I feel it certainly couldn't hurt, and hopefully will help to build rebuild confidence in the legislature. So we're going to also institute some rules that will allow that type of code of conduct to be a measure by which in the future ethics committee can analyze and evaluate behavior, because right now it's mostly relegated to either seriously illegal behavior or violent behavior or conflict of interest, financial gain type of situations, and less so on more broad and somewhat ambiguous code of conduct type issues. So we're going to take those steps and hope that moves things in the right direction.
And you also banned alcohol from all of the legislators' offices. Is that correct?
I did, yes. And, you know, some folks would say that, you know, you're mothering us or whatever. The truth is, state agencies mostly are not allowed to have alcohol, so this is consistent with that.
But having that brown bottle in the bottom drawer of the desk kind of seems like a tradition, doesn't it?
Yeah, really.
Well, I mean, look, there is an aspect to signy die or last day of session days, you know, whipping out and toasting to a session. I get that. I truly do. And the next speaker a year from now might decide, you know, what harm has been done has been corrected, and we can loosen the reins a little bit. But in doing this, it sends the right message. There's no doubt that alcohol was involved in some of the bad behavior and has been involved at times. And so we're going to be dry for the next 10 months at the Capitol. They can certainly in after hours go and have a drink. I might join them, but on the Capitol grounds, we're going to keep it dry.
So do you have other investigations, other probes that are specific where you're looking into other members, other staffers for misdeeds, or was this the one sort of one-off investigation that you had?
So not at this time. We don't have any other investigations underway or any other formal ethics complaints that have been filed on this type of thing. I have continued to make available the recourse to people who feel like they've had to deal with harassment, that they should come forward and that we will respond forcefully and firmly. At the same time, we've got to be careful not to assume every allegation is credible. In a political world, that obviously can be seriously abused. But when an allegation is made, it nevertheless needs to be taken seriously and due process followed. And then when corroborated, we have to respond. We can't sweep it under the rug.
I got a couple real quick questions about this the specific situation yesterday. Shooter left the house during the vote, got in his car and drove away. And isn't there a House rule that you have to remain on the floor when a vote is taking place?
There is a House rule. And I was asked about it. And to be honest with you, under the circumstances, the point of what we were doing was to expel him. So the fact that he left a few minutes earlier than he otherwise would be forced to leave, I just wasn't going to hold him to that. Didn't really seem, to be necessary.
And also, you had a gun picked up from his office. Was he there when this happened? Did you go do this yourself? Did you send officers to go track down this firearm? And why?
So I went. I had a number of people, communicating to me their concern of what someone might do in a heightened emotional state. No reason necessarily to believe Mr. Shooter is dangerous, and I don't consider him dangerous and never did. But out of an abundance of caution, taking into consideration that how people were feeling, I decided to just go confront them. So I did go over myself. I did have an escort. I have an escort with me much of the time anyway. But so he came with me, and I just confronted him, and he had a sort of and specifically what was brought up is this idea that he has his gun on his wall, and it's actually a toy gun, but I it looks real though. But I took that and then asked him if he had any others, and he did have a small firearm, which he took out and gave to me. Had no issue, no resistance. Again, I don't consider him a threat. It was out of an abundance of caution, and it's his property, so he'll get it back.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Mr. Speaker, J.D. Mesnard, please stick around. We're going to take a break here, then come back with you for a few more minutes. We appreciate the time. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There'll be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. With me in studio, Tim Steller, columnist, the Arizona Daily Star, and Dylan Smith, the editor-publisher of Tucson's online news service, the TucsonSentinel.com. With us on the live line, I've got a pretty good cell connection. He is on the road, J.D. Mesnard, who is the Speaker of the Arizona House of Representatives, representative from, I believe it is, District 17. Is that correct? In Chandler?
Correct. Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes.
When do you think we will see a replacement for now ex-Representative Shooter?
Sure. So probably a couple of weeks. There's a process in place that involves precinct committee men from the district making a recommendation or nominating three individuals to the County Board of Supervisors, and then they select. And the statute does require pretty quick decision-making since we are in session. So I would hope within as quickly as a couple of weeks.
Do you have any major votes pending that would be taking place in that time period, or is that district going to have somebody there having their say?
So, well, there's two representatives from each district, so there's still another representative. But unfortunately, yes, we're actually at a high point in terms of voting on bills, trying to get House bills over to the Senate for their consideration. So there's no doubt this has an impact. Potentially anything that was going to be or will be a close vote could come down to one vote, may fail because of a vacancy. So some things will have to be tabled until we know who the replacement's going to be.
This is Tim Steller again. So a tax cut bill for veterans failed in the Senate the other day in a Senate committee. It was the governor's only tax cut that he proposed this year, as far as I know. Does it have any future? Can it be resurrected in some way, or is there some other proposal that's going to allow the governor to get a tax cut this year?
Sure. Well, there's plenty of opportunity to discuss other tax policy options or places to insert, whether it's in the budget or other tax policy bills. And just because one committee votes against a bill doesn't mean there wouldn't be broader support if it made it past the committee or reappeared somewhere else in the process. So given that it's the governor's priority, and I do think we'll have a lot of support in other areas, I would be pretty optimistic that it will come back in some form.
Here's Dylan Smith.
I just wanted to, I think we all just wanted to give you one, before we delve into further legislative details, but a chance for any last thoughts on the Shooter situation.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I will say, some people wonder why it was as hard a decision as it was to choose to expel a member. My only answer is, it's a person who is someone you've worked with that really you consider part of the family. You know, at the Capitol, obviously, we have our Republican and Democratic disagreements, but at the end of the day, most of us like each other and accept each other for their disagreements and faults and different principles and whatnot. And so expelling someone is really like cutting a limb off or throwing someone out of your family. It's tough. And so at the same time, it was tough for the women to come forward, and I appreciate their courage. It's ultimately what led to the expulsion that was necessary. But I just wanted to add that in case folks are wondering what makes it hard. It's so easy. He's clearly this person that's bad. Most of us don't consider him a bad person, but obviously he said hurtful things and he had to be dealt with accordingly.
And you're saying at this point there are no other active investigations in that arena of harassment?
Yeah, that's correct. No other investigations. Of course, that could change tomorrow, next week, next month. But at the moment, that was the one.
What is the major piece of business now facing the Arizona House of Representatives?
Boy, there's a lot before us. We need to get started on the budget. We're frankly a little bit behind in the session, in my opinion, because we had a special session last week to address the opioid crisis that occupied everybody's attention, and rightly so. This week we had the report being released and a tough decision to expel a member. And so, you know, we've got only a couple of weeks left to try to get all of our House bills over to the Senate. So it's going to be a busy few weeks, but I have no doubt that my colleagues will be up to the task.
Can you take a quick call? We have Sue on the line. She called us at 790-2040. Sue, you're with J.D. Mesnard, the Speaker of the Arizona House of Representatives. Go ahead, Sue.
Hi, Mr. Mesnard. I'm very concerned about the adult-on-adult sexual abuse in the legislature, but I'm far more concerned about the adult-on-child sexual abuse in foster care, group homes, and forced adoption that we have brought to your attention over and over and over again, and we get, in the community, crickets.
Okay, let's let the speaker respond to that. Sue, go ahead, Speaker.
Yeah, ma'am, I'm not entirely sure if you're referring to me specifically or the legislature generally in terms of bringing concerns. We are always going to take issues regarding sex abuse, especially of children. I mean, any abuse, but especially of children, very seriously. If there's a specific incident or incidents occurring, I don't know a single member of the legislature that wouldn't immediately respond with whatever legislation is necessary to address it. I'm not sure if there's a specific incident you're talking about, but all I can do is extend that to you that we are on hand to try to solve any issue that you're seeing out there.
And she can feel free to contact your office?
Absolutely. Anytime. Absolutely.
Now, what about your own political future? What are you thinking about in the future here for your own political run, if you will? Are you thinking of something else or what?
Well, I'm hoping that the voters in my district will consider me for the state Senate. I am running to replace the retiring senator from my district, Senator Yarbrough, who's also the president of the Senate. And so I'm hoping that they will give me that honor. I'll be campaigning over the next several months leading into November on that. And just taking it really one day, one step at a time.
I appreciate the time, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much. And Dylan and Tim also extend their best to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be with you.
Thanks a lot. J.D. Mesnard, who is the Speaker of the Arizona House, getting us up to date, Tim and Dylan, on the latest on the shooter incident.
Yeah, well, I think we filled in a couple of details, which was good to be able to ask him directly about what happened and get his thoughts on that. It was, as the speaker said, you know, it's not a decision to be taken lightly to, you know, jump in front of the decision that the voters make and give somebody the boot out of office. That's not something you do just on the merest of whims over like a political disagreement or something like that.
Right. Yeah. I think the key thing, he didn't mention it, but you just did, that the key was to remove somebody the voters had chosen before the voters had a chance to reconsider it. You know, when I looked through the information and his repeated behavior, I totally see. I mean, I think it's easier from an outsider's perspective to understand why they removed him. It seems like it was such a pattern of misbehavior.
Sorry, you don't belong here anymore.
No. And it sounds like he was an outlier. And, you know, there may be a culture of sexual harassment to some extent, but he sounds like he was, you know,
over the top,
totally.
Well, it sounds like he didn't do much to forward his own case the day of this incident. I mean, he may.
We're right.
I think it's fascinating that he may have been able to get away with just a censure if he had come onto the House floor and said he was sorry. I don't know. Could he have gotten away with just a censure?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think with a greater sense of repentance.
Yeah, that's the word I was using.
Any sense?
Repentance, sure. Yeah, I mean, one thing that didn't come up that maybe we should have asked him about was that there was an incident in the morning in which, yesterday morning before the vote, in which Shooter went to the office of Representative Ugenti Rita, who was one of his accusers.
Yes.
And said something to the effect of, well, are we ready for a lynching today? this is what various news outlets in Phoenix have said. Now, the natural, for me, the natural interpretation of that is, are you ready to lynch me today?
Yeah.
But she was worried about that. And as Bram Resnick up in Phoenix pointed out yesterday, there's no way he should have been anywhere near her. Stay away. You know, on that day of all days, stay away. And so that goes to that sense of
that was
poor
the last
judgment,
straw.
Which was
straw.
Which was what underlay his expulsion.
Yeah. And I think the speaker would probably agree with that. That was the last straw.
One thing we didn't ask about is whether that microphone survived its trip to the floor.
When it hit the floor. our friend Joe Ferguson, who is a contributor to this program, he's also in his day job with the Arizona Daily Star, reports here on Facebook that a local legend, a journalism legend, has passed away. Professor Don Carson leaves behind a legacy of countless talented journalists working across the country who were inspired by his teaching. And Joe says he never had him as a professor, but I will say I did a long time ago, back in 1967. As a young kid at the University of Arizona, that was my first introduction to journalism. And I will tell you, Professor Carson had a profound impact on me. And that was like 50 years ago.
Yep.
So I'm very, very sad to hear this news. He was 85. He did co-author a book on Mo Udall that was a terrific book, kind of a biography on Mr. Udall, but Don Carson, great guy, Dylan.
Indeed. You know, I don't recall having him for the, you know, cup of coffee I had in the journalism classes at the U of A. Mm-hmm. So long ago, I barely remember them. But, you know, so many people for decades were taught very capably by Don Carson how to be good reporters, you know, and I think this craft in this town owes a whole lot to him.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
And on that note, we will say goodbye for our Friday Focus Roundtable. But we have Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up. Take it away, Tom Fairbanks. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Society proudly presents the 64th Annual Tucson Gem and Mineral Show.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show is the single finest gem and mineral show in the world. There's thousands of enthusiastic buyers, and the collectors are really fortunate to see an assemblage of the finest mineral specimens, gems, and jewelry that they'll see anywhere on the planet.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, February 8th through the 11th at the Tucson Convention Center. Go to tgms.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card?
From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
All righty then, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, with Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist. And we do want to remind folks that it's only a three-hour drive over to Silver City. A great weekend getaway, the good starting place would be southwestnewmexico.org. That has the full listing of several dozen fine places to stay in the Silver City area and several dozen great recreation ideas, including a visit to the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. We visit now on the live line Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning president and CEO of Russell Public Communications. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday, Bill.
I am always ready for a food and wine festival. Can you accommodate me this weekend?
I am here to serve, my friend. One of my favorite events of the year is actually tomorrow at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, which I think always is a beautiful backdrop.
It is.
For the Savor Food and Wine Festival put on by our friends at the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance. It starts at 11 o'clock a.m. More than 75 chefs and brewers, winemakers, they're going to be out there serving up a selection of their signature bites and beverages, showcasing the diversity of the heritage ingredients of the Southwest as you stroll through the grounds of this stunning place. Now, this event always sells out, so you got to grab your tickets today at saacasaca.org.
What a great backdrop that is, the Tucson Botanical Gardens. I'm a member. I love that place. What about the Brew Crew? Anything going on for those looking for a good brew this weekend?
Yeah, you know what? With all the news about craft breweries popping up across town lately, it says something when you come up on the five-year mark and showing no signs of slowing down. Well, the good guys over at 1055 Brewing Company are celebrating their fifth anniversary tomorrow, and they'll be throwing a party that we're all invited to starting at 2 p.m. going all the way up till 9. Now, you're going to be able to enjoy some of their standout suds, from a refreshing grapefruit shandy to a rich and creamy milk stout. These beers are going to pair nicely with some craft sausages that are going to be there, live music. 3810 East 44th Street is where all the action is. So swing by tomorrow to say happy fifth.
So many of us pulling for Nick Foles, the ex-UA Wildcat quarterback who now is going to be engineering, a lot of people hope, an Eagles victory on Super Bowl Sunday. Do you have any picks for our listeners?
Yeah, lots of sports bars getting into a Super Bowl mode this weekend. And whether you're a fan of Philly or New England, you should check out Mulligan's on Golf Links in Harrison. They're going to be doing fun specials on Philly cheesesteaks and New England clam chowder. Get it? Philly, New England.
Yes,
you with
sir.
Me? And here's something cool. Their chef, CJ Ham, he's going to be featured on the hit show Chopped on the Food Network on February 27th.
Whoa.
Which means, Bill, that his cuisine has now made it to prime time. So Mulligan's is my choice for Super Bowl Sunday, as is the Philadelphia Eagles organization, Bill.
Go Eagles. What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly?
Yeah, well, you know, of all the wines that I think would work beautifully on your Valentine's dinner table, I reveal my personal pick that I guarantee will send you straight down Lovebird Lane, and that sexy story is in this week's edition.
We will look for it. Have a great Super Bowl weekend, Matt. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, Bill.
All right. The Bill Buckmaster program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. The original theme music, courtesy of Chris Stefan. You can find out more about him at buckmastershow.com. Rosemary Brandt, my assistant through all these years, does such a great job making sure all of the podcasts are up and ready to listen to in a very timely manner. Our KVOI operations manager, Ray Allen, who's my producer and engineer Monday through Thursday. Tom Fairbanks, my producer and engineer on Friday. Thank you, Tom. Did a great job today. Production manager, funny man, Jerry Cross. Thanks, Jerry. Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, the upfront crew. Thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, owners of the station. Together, we say, have a great weekend.